That was year 2002. I was in my second year in college, and my two sisters were in their third year. And in my country, we don't have many opportunities. If you're poor, you're poor. You have to work your way in college. So I found a job selling books, and my two sisters were working for the school so that they could earn their tuition fees. Then money ran out. We don't have money to buy food anymore. So me and my sisters, we didn't eat for 3 days. We used detergent soap for our shampoo. Yeah, and you know, salt for our toothpaste. So I was thinking then, Lord, you know, these things are happening to us. We were so hungry. So how about if I will just quit school, I will just go home so that I can work? Because I received a letter from the dean's office telling me that I need to study harder because sometimes I skip school so that I can deliver my books, so that I can earn money. While I was thinking about quitting school and going back home, I saw in my syllabus that I will just have to watch a video. You know, the course is, the subject is anatomy and physiology. That was my, that was a minor for me. So anatomy and physiology. So I said, well, I'm so hungry. You know, it's so hard to study with an empty tummy, but I will go. I will just watch. I will just watch in the big screen. So I went there and I watched how conception begins. Yeah, oh, this is science. You know, so there is this big screen. All the lights were turned off. And I saw an egg. Hey, so every month, a mother, you know, an egg will be released from the mother, right? There is an egg and it's 100 times enlarged. So it's very big. And then suddenly I saw these little tadpoles, millions of them, coming from the papa, you know, the sperm cells. And congratulations, gentlemen, you are a millionaire if you don't know. Yeah, you have your millions. God had endowed you with millions of this potential, the presidents of the United States. So I saw these millions, and I was so fascinated. You know, I forgot that I hadn't eaten in 3 days. And then suddenly, so these little tadpoles, you know, they look like tadpoles, the sperm cells. They are like competing with one another. But only the smartest, the brightest, and the strongest one who will first come to the egg and penetrate the outer membrane of the egg, because the sperm should be strong enough. And then when it went through it, the egg, then fertilization will take place. And you know, after 9 months, that fertilized ovum will become a baby. You know why I am telling you this? Because it provided me with an inspiration. I said to myself, well, I am a winner. You know, out of those million competitors, and that egg and that sperm cell is the brightest, the strongest, and the smartest one that were able to penetrate the egg. And it became me, and it became you. So you are born a winner, and you are born to be a winner. Because I believe that an unseen hand have chosen that egg out of those million eggs too, you know. So God might be saying, well, this is the egg that should be released for this month, so that when they unite, you know, when the papa and the mama unite, this egg that has the recessive and the dominant traits of the mother, this is the chosen one. And out of those million sperm cells, this is the best one, the strongest one, so that when they unite, this individual will fulfill my plans for him. Our verse today is found in Jeremiah 29:11, New King James Version. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Let's pray. Our most gracious and kind Heavenly Master, thank you, Lord, for this beautiful Sabbath. Thank you for all the blessings. Lord, as we study your word, May these messages be inculcated in our hearts and minds so that we can apply them in our daily Christian living. Help us, Lord, to have that sense of mission, because we know that you have plans for us. Help us to better understand that our coming here in this world is not an accident, that you have preordained for us to be here because you have wonderful plans for us, and that plans is to give us hope and a future. Lord, please forgive us from all of our shortcomings, and to our brothers and sisters who were out there, please be with them and protect them from all possible harms and dangers. Please forgive us from all of our shortcomings. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Long introduction, huh? But don't worry, I will be finished by 12:15. Okay, well, so we are going to study about God's plan in our lives. And the best plan, the best story that illustrates God's plan is in the life of Joseph. So kindly open your Bible in the book of Genesis, chapter 37. Who is Joseph? Joseph is a son of Jacob. Let me look at my notes. You know, what happened to my notes? Okay, who is Joseph? Joseph comes in a dysfunctional family. Four wives competing over one husband. That is not God's plan. God's plan is a monogamous marriage relationship. So we need to preserve our marriage. We need to fight for it. Yeah, because every broken homes, I can see that Satan is laughing. So Joseph comes from a dysfunctional family. So young people from broken homes, put this to mind. That is not God's plan. That is not God's plan. But the Lord is not looking at your background. No matter who you are, your parents separated, your home is broken, but the Lord had plans for you. And that plans is to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. The Lord is not looking at your background. And Joseph was Israel's favorite. Joseph was his father's favorite. It was shown when he made a robe for Joseph, a robe of many colors. In other words, the other brothers, you know, Joseph had 11 brothers, 12 of them. So he had 11 brothers. And he was the only one who were able to wear that kind of robe. It is a garment of a prince. It was made for him as a marking of distinction between him and his brothers. It is a marking of his superiority. And the brothers understood that Joseph was set apart. A declaration that he will have rich inheritance. He will have the birthright, and he was designated for headship. As a result, the brothers hated Joseph. My dear parents, this is not God's plan. And we should not repeat Jacob's folly. You know, I was so fearful that I will do the same thing. That's why I have only one. You know, that sweet boy over there. You know, we should not repeat Jacob's folly. Avoid favoritism, because God doesn't play favorite. Therefore, we must not. Because favoritism encourages sibling rivalry, and it destroys love in the family. You know, the children will start competing with each other. And that's what happened to them. And according to the Bible, Joseph was a fault finder. He is finding fault for his brothers, from his brothers. Maybe the other brothers were so rude. They are doing bad things behind their father's back. And Joseph is telling the father about them. That's why maybe he became the favorite. Friends, that is not God's plan. We should not be finding fault in each other. Find the beauty in people. Yeah, right? Yeah, we should not be finding fault, you know. If we are doing that, we are like Satan. You know, Satan is the accuser of our brethren. So if we are doing the same thing, we are making the work of the devil easier for him. That is not God's plan. And according to the Bible, Joseph is a dreamer. God's plan for us is to dream big, be a person of vision, be a person of dream, not only for yourself, but also for your family and for the church, and also for our country. What is your dream for the church? Do you dream that that this church will have a son or a daughter, so this church will become the mother church? Do you dream that your country will become more prosperous in the next 5 years so that all the impoverished countries over there, the third world countries, will be benefited? Be a person of dream. Be a person of vision. But Joseph didn't know, but the one who is giving him that dream is none other than God. God is getting him ready. God had in mind one of the most important development of human history, and Joseph was to be his agent in bringing it about. Sometimes we seldom knew God's plan. We need only to see to it that our lives is given up to do his will, that we are walking in his ways, then we may be confidently assured that we are being used to accomplish his divine purposes. Let's look a little bit of his dream. He said, Father, I saw that the moon and the stars, you know, first, we all have our grains, 12 grains, and my grains stood up, and all the 11 grains bowed down to mine. And then he had another dream. I saw the moon and the stars, and they all bowed down to me. You see, these dreams, this dream is all coming from God. Actually, the Father got mad. Some people, when you have that dream, they get mad at you, maybe because they were envious. You know, don't be a dream stealer. I remember when I was young, I was trying to sing. You know, I was trying to sing, but somebody heard me and he said, "Yeah, you have no right to sing." And you know, I didn't sing for the next 30 years. Yeah, but when I came here to America, our brothers and sisters here were accepting that you are so patient with me. And thank you so much for that. You know, but when I stopped singing, and now that I am recalling, I said to myself, because of that one comment, I did not sing for 30 years. And now my voice, you know, I age a lot, and it's not as good as before. So I said to myself, you know, don't allow people to steal your dream. And at the same time, don't be a dream stealer. Okay? That is not God's plan. Okay? And what happened here? You know, I'm just trying to, because this is a very long topic, I don't want to keep you here, you know, getting hungry after this. You know. However, the Lord is filling us with his words. Okay, what did the brothers do? One time, Jacob said to Joseph, Joseph, can you find your brothers? Because they are sheep herding. They have sheep. And they went somewhere for the sheep to graze, you know. Maybe they are experiencing drought. So the brothers went to where the green pasture is. So the father said, Joseph, can you bring them food? So Joseph went there. They were not in the place. So he even looked for them. And when they found him, they said from afar, oh, here comes the dreamer. Let's see what will happen to his dream. Let's kill him. See how groundless jealousies are, how unfair its representation, and how indecent its language is. See? But I want to tell you this, that there were people who will block your way. They will try to destroy God's plan in your life, but be steadfast in the faith, because no matter what men do to destroy his plans for you, God's plan will still prevail. So when they saw him from afar, okay, let's kill him. They conspired against him. But one brother said, no, maybe we just put him on the pit. Let's put him in the pit. After all, he's our brother. But it was Reuben, the eldest child. And in his mind, he said that I am going to rescue the boy and I'm going to return him to our father. So they put him in the pit while they ate the lunch that Joseph brought for them. But while they were talking, they were enjoying the meal, they saw these caravans, the slave traders, the Ishmaelites. So they said to each other, well, maybe we can just sell our brother. Maybe we can earn some more money. So they took him out of the pit. And maybe this time Joseph is telling himself, well, the worst part is over. Maybe they are just playing a joke on me. But then they bound him, his hands and feet, and they went to the slave trader. Here is our brother. How much is he? And they sold him for 20 shekels of silver. You know, do you know how much is 20 shekels of silver? It's almost nothing. In God's service, we must realize that we are nothing, and God will make us somebody. God had plans for us, but our attitude should not be I. When you succeed in life, it is me who did this. It is me whom they owe these big buildings. It is me. It is I. No, it is not us, but it is God's plan being fulfilled in our lives. What happened after that? So they sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites. Then they took his robe, the robe of many colors, and they killed a lamb, and they put blood on the robe, and they presented it to their father, and they said, "Father, we found this on the road. You see, it's like wild animals destroyed it." And Jacob was so filled with grief and pain at the thought of his favorite son being who he thought that he was devoured by wild animals. Brothers and sisters, take that garment of pride. Take that garment of self-sufficiency. Then you will be washed with the blood of the Lamb. And then God's plan will be fulfilled in your life. So when Joseph, imagine Joseph's thoughts. Imagine what is happening in his little heart when he was there in the caravan. Maybe they passed by the hills where their tent is. Maybe he shouted at the top of his lungs. He said, "Father, they are bringing me to a strange land. Come rescue me." But no one comes to his rescue. Imagine how painful it was for him. And when they came to Egypt, he was sold to Potiphar. And Potiphar is an aristocrat in Egypt. But you know what? Joseph could have been bitter if he allowed himself to be bitter. You know, there is always a choice. He could have been bitter if he allowed circumstances to make him bitter, but the trials in slavery, he purposed in his heart that the trials in slavery, he would meet with fortitude. The duties required of him, he would meet with fidelity. And Joseph was so faithful even in small things. Joseph was faithful in his duties, even in small things. So we should not underestimate the value of small things. The varied circumstances that we meet every day are designed to test our character and to qualify us for greater trust. We need to glorify God in big and small ways. Yeah, when you are cooking food, mothers, you know, make sure that your family will never, would not want anymore to go outside to eat. Make sure that this is the best, that even though your kids were in college, they all wanted to come back home too, because they know that their mother is always preparing that particular soup because you made it as perfect as possible. Those are just small things. I'm not asking you to be perfect, but that is God's plan for us. We need to glorify Him in big and small ways, big and small things. If you are cleaning, don't just clean here, the one that can be seen. Go under the book too. Yeah, go under the table. Go under the bed. Because the dirt is still there if you will just do that surface work alone. I remember when I first came here to America, somebody told me, "Do you need extra money?" "Yes, of course. Dollars, you know, green money. What will we do?" "Oh, we clean house." "Okay, I know how to clean house." So here is what we're going to do. So this is the house. The house is as big as this. So I said to myself, "Well, this is so easy. We can do it in an hour." But they told me, come here. "What you're doing is, it's not right to do this in 1 hour because we are paid per hour. So what are we going to do? We need to stretch the time. Kill time. You know, I don't know what is kill time before. I don't know that time can be killed too." So they told me, you have to kill time. That is not God's plan. But they told me we need to kill time because, you know, three of us. And if we do it in an hour, then we'll just pay for an hour. So you do it in 5 hours, you know, and I hate it, you know. So there are times that when I'm asking people to do some work for the house, I'm always there looking, you know, because I became suspicious that they will do kill time when I'm not looking, you know, but that is not God's plan, because God's plan for us is to be honest and not to cheat, right? Glorify God in big and small things. So what happened? What happened to Joseph? Joseph became endeared to Potiphar, and before long, he became the mayordomo, the steward of the house. And according to the Bible, the Lord prospered the household of Potiphar for the sake of Joseph. And one good news, I forgot this, it's highlighted in my Bible. It says here, the Lord was with Joseph. Reuben is not with him. Jacob is not with him. But the Lord was with Joseph. You know, my dear friends, God will never forsake you. Let all men forsake you, but not the Lord. Because if you have the Lord, you will have everything. You will be complete. You will have the peace that passeth all understanding. You will have the love that this world may never give. You will find the happiness that the world could not offer you. If you have the Lord, if you have God in your life, you will be complete and you will have a good night's sleep. Because you know that the Lord is there for you. So the Lord was with Joseph. So everything he do, God prospered. So he became the mayordomo or the steward of the house. But before I forget, let's go back to his brothers who conspired against him. So make sure that you're not the blocker of someone's dream. Because if you are blocking the dream of somebody and that is God's plan for him, you are actually resisting God, right? Second one, we should not be involved in wicked plans. And the third one, kill envy before it kills. Or don't be envious if you see God's plan being fulfilled in someone's life. Okay, let's return to Joseph. So Joseph was there enjoying the life of being the steward of the house. It's a nice position, huh? So, but even though a slave, according to the Bible, Joseph is handsome in appearance and in form. Oh, he is handsome. Why? Because he is following God's laws of health. He is drinking water instead of wine. He is not binge TV watching the whole night. So tomorrow, you know, those binge watching, you know, maybe I'm guilty too sometimes, because after my father died, you know, sometimes I could not sleep at night. And I have to admit that there are times that in order to take my mind from the grief, I'm like watching TV. But I stopped doing that, praise God. Because one time I went to my doctor, I showed him this. So I told him, doctor, what is happening here? Do I need a facelift? Yeah, it's look like a turtleneck. So I said to him, what can I do with this? Am I going to exercise? Because, you know, I am looking at people, they were thin, but they still have the turtleneck. So I said to her, what is really the cause of the turtleneck? So he told me, are you watching TV? Are you playing with your phone? So I said to myself, I look myself in the mirror while I'm doing this to my phone, and I see that, yeah, the muscles is being formed in here. So be careful about that. When you are like always on your phone, see, look at that. If you don't like a turtleneck, don't just watch TV and don't just look for your phone like this. See? Yeah, so Joseph, instead of drinking wine, he is drinking more water. He is exercising too. We need to exercise, of course. That's why all the muscles were in the right places. Hey, macho. Yeah, Joseph is macho, handsome, and he doesn't overeat. He doesn't overeat. He is following God's laws of health. You know, compare yourself to those people who smoke and to those who drink. You are very different from them. You are more beautiful. Although you age, there is a radiance in you. Don't you see that? I see that. Because I've been with people. I am working with people. And I can see when I ask, how old are you? I'm 45. But when I compare you, like 85 to 45, you look like the same age. What's the difference? Because you are following God's laws of health. That's why we Seventh-day Adventists, we were so privileged Can't you say amen for that? We were so privileged. We know God's health reform. We know all about this. So we need to apply this in our lives. And we need to share this to others so that we can be handsome and beautiful like Joseph. However, because of this handsome appearance, the lady of the house took a special liking on him. And during this time, Joseph is a teenager, right? Maybe around 19 years old. And I believe teenagers, hormones are rising. And if somebody is giving you attention, especially as beautiful as Mrs. Potiphar, I believe she's beautiful because Egyptians were known for cosmetic products, right? And one of the most beautiful woman in the world, Cleopatra, was an Egyptian too, is an Egyptian too, right? So, and I believe that when the lady of the house is giving him attention, the more the blood boils. You know, I've been young before. During this time, teenagers, curious how to be with, you know, the experience, to be with someone, you know. How has the feeling of a first kiss, right? Oh, you're very silent. Yeah, you're very silent. You've been young before. I've been young too before. I know that feeling. And Joseph is being tempted every day of his life. Oh, Joseph, you are so handsome, Joseph. Come lie with me. Sleep with me, you know. You know, my bed is very cold at night. Can you go there to warm it up? Imagine that. And you see, it's like if we make a comedy out of this, it's like the corn running after the rooster, right? And the natural reaction of the rooster is to peck the corn so that the rooster will be satisfied. That is what is happening to them. But you know what, brothers, what will you do if you face the same thing, you know? If you have the same temptation, what will you do? Joseph can rationalize, well, she's my master, you know? I can, you know, and she's always telling me to go to her. She's the one tempting me. That's not my fault. She can rationalize it, but she opted not. You know what she said? What he said, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? The greatest want of the world is the want of men, men who will not be bought or sold, men who do not fear to call sin by its right name, men whose conscience is as true to duty as the needle to the pole, men who will stand for the right though the heavens fall. That's what he did. You know what? When the lady of the house set him up, okay, you slave, go to the market. You go somewhere. And then when she and Joseph were alone, Joseph, come lay with me. And maybe she's trying to embrace Joseph. So Joseph fought him and fought her and Joseph ran. But the lady of the house would not give up. So he grabbed on Joseph's tunic. So it is in her hand. But Joseph ran away from the temptation. I just want to tell you this, that there is an adversary from the beginning. That devil, that liar, who is always seeking to destroy God's plan in your life. But resist him, and he will flee from you. But this story, it was Joseph who fled from the temptation. Praise God. My brother, overcame the temptation. You see, I'm sorry, you know, my English is very limited. Yeah, it's hard if it's hard to speak in the yeah, English is a very confusing language as opposed to mine, you know. It's hard. Okay. So what happened? But let's give some emphasis on this. You see? Time is flying quickly. Okay, let's give some emphasis on this. You know, is Mrs. Potiphar worth it? Is she worth it? Because you see, Potiphar invested so much in Joseph. He clothed him. He did everything for him. That's why Joseph might be saying, "You're not worth it. My master had invested too much on me for me to sin against him." So the same is true with us, Christian. If the devil is calling you, hey, come love me. I will give you all the material things in this world. I will provide you the happiness, all the passion that you will ever imagine. You have to tell him, hey, devil, you could not afford me because my God had invested so much on me. He bought me with his blood. So you can afford me. Right? Okay, so time is flying quickly. So when the master of the house came, the lady, you know, hell hath no fury than a woman scorned. So when the husband came, look what he did to me. He tried to rape me. And look at his cloak. You know, I tried to fight him and I grabbed him. That's why, you know, I don't know, you know. But if you are going to investigate about that, I will even ask, why it should be your clothes who will be on Joseph's hands, not his clothes, right? But the master was so furious that he had thrown Joseph in the dungeon. That was so unfair. Is that God's plan? Yes, of course. That is God's plan. That's why we should not pause halfway. We have to continue on to see what God is really trying to tell us here, right? So Joseph was thrown in the dungeon. But one good news, the Lord was with Joseph. It is a joy of my heart to preach to you about the God who will never leave us. You might be in the dungeon of despair, but the Lord will never forsake you. You know, there is a verse in the Bible that says, can a mother forget her suckling child? Yeah, they may forget, but I will never forget you. You know, I don't know if you are a mother and you have a suckling child, you will never forget. I assure you that. It's not only, we are not talking about science here, but when I have my child and he's suckling in me, I went to New York, I left him in the care of my husband. Suddenly, I was in the road and I feel drip here. You know, yeah, you will experience that. If your baby is hungry, you will, you know, it let down. That's why you will always remember, now, oh, my son is hungry now. Yeah. But the Bible says, though they may forget, I, the Lord saith, that I will never forget you. So God was there with him, and before long, he won his way to leadership again. He was appointed as the overseer in the prison, in the dungeon. But, you know, I could not understand that too. It's still, because it's so uncomfortable to live in the dungeon. How's the air quality? Are they sleeping in the dirt floor? You know, if that's an American prison, well, maybe it's a very comfortable place to live in, right? But if you are in the dungeon, there might be rats in there. There might be insects in there to bite you, to suck your blood. You know, it's not very comfortable. But why did God allow Joseph to be there? But it's a part of God's plan. I will tell you later. But here in the dungeon, Joseph will meet someone. Someone that God had appointed to change his life. Right? Okay, so during this time that Joseph was in the dungeon, something happened in the palace. An element of a plot, I forget something. Before Joseph was thrown in the dungeon, the Bible is clear that Joseph did not attempt to vindicate himself. He did not attempt to clarify himself. He can say, I did not do that. I did not even touch your wife, right? But he preferred ignominy to himself, and he subject himself to cruel suspicion, because if he would tell Potiphar about his wife, that would bring him shame and suffering. So you will see here Joseph's self-sacrificing love for his master. It's like saying, okay, master, just believe your wife. After all, he is your wife. I want you to be together, so I will take the blame. So Joseph was thrown in the dungeon. And in the dungeon, I am telling you, something happened in the palace. There was a plot against the life of Peru. And those who were suspected to be involved were put into custody in that dungeon together with Joseph. The two of them, the baker and the cupbearer. So while they were in the dungeon, they are examining the matter. They are investigating to see who is the culprit. So they put these two important people in the dungeon. And one time, they were so sad. So Joseph approached them. What happened? Are you okay? You know, it's good to be interested in people. It's good to ask questions to people, especially when you see them sad. You know, I'm not snobby myself. It's just that sometimes, English being a second language to me, I don't know what to say. So instead of saying, how are you? I just say, hi, hello. You know? Yeah, I just say hi and hello. But it's always good to be interested in people. It's always good to ask questions to know how they are, because we don't know. Maybe it's God's plan for us to uplift someone's soul in that particular moment. So these people, one time, these two people, the baker and the cupbearer, they were so sad. And Joseph told them, what happened? What happened to you? Why are you so sad? And the cupbearer said, well, I have a dream. Oh, what is your dream? Don't interpretation belongs to God? Okay, tell me that dream. Oh, I dreamed that there were three vines, and then those vines have grapes, and I get the grapes, and I squeeze it, and the juice I gave to Pharaoh, and Pharaoh drank of it. And Joseph said, oh, okay. So the three vines were 3 days. After 3 days, you will be released from the dungeon, and you will be resumed, or you will be restored as a cupbearer to the king. You know, I don't want to discuss anymore the baker's dream, because it's pretty tragic, right? So let's just read it at home. So we'll just stick to that. Yeah, we'll just stick to that. So after 3 days, according to Joseph's words, the cupbearer was restored as the king's cupbearer. But remember this, that before the conversation finished, Joseph made this wonderful appeal to the men. He said, remember me when you were already in the position, because I was stolen from home. I want to go back home. That is his dream. But that is his plan. But God had greater plans. You know, no matter how we plan our life, the Lord still had better plans for us. That's why we should not complain. When worst thing happened to you, leave everything to the wise and knowing God. But the cupbearer was proven to be maybe a little bit of an ungrateful person, because he forgot about Joseph for the period of 2 years. He did not mention anything to Pharaoh. But you know what? The Lord uses the forgetfulness of the cupbearer, because if he acted immediately, it will be more harmful than helpful. What will happen is that they will release Joseph from the dungeon only to be sold to another master, right? And I believe in here that Joseph came to firm belief that the man who must fulfill God's plan is he who without anxiety or the person who should be waiting for God's plan to happen. Remember the song, In His Time? In His time, in His time, He makes all things beautiful. In His time. Right? Always remember that song. So when you see that it seems that God is taking long to fulfill His dreams, His plans for you, gently wait and murmur not, because God's plan is the best plan. Everything has its fixed time. And now Joseph is nearing graduation, because all the things that happened to him, trials are blessings, these are his schooling. Okay, let me tell you this. Years of slavery in Potiphar's house, what did he learn? Remember that Potiphar is a captain of the king's guard. And he is an aristocrat. And member and other aristocrats are going to Potiphar's house. And in this place, he were able to learn the language. That's why he's talking Egyptian, right? He learned about science. He learned about social and political affairs. He were able to know how to entertain visitors. He were able to know how to hold banquets and things like that. So these years in Potiphar's household is a valuable schooling for Joseph. And now, what did he learn from the dungeon? He learned how to meet injustice, because he experienced injustice himself. So he learned how to meet it, because God is preparing him to become, you know, God is preparing him to become a leader someday. And now Joseph is nearing graduation, and these things is about to happen. What happened is that Pharaoh had a dream. Remember the dream of Pharaoh? There were 7 fat cows, healthy cows. And then there were the 7 ugly, unhealthy cows. And these unhealthy cows ate the fat cows. But Pharaoh is looking and the thin cows still look the same, like nothing happened. And suddenly he saw 7 ears of corn, and then there is this unhealthy ears of corn, and they ate up all those healthy ears of corns. But after he looked, nothing happened to the thin corns. They were still the same. And in the morning, Pharaoh was so baffled what that dream meant for me and for the whole kingdom. So he gathered all the wise men in Egypt to interpret the dream. Then the cupbearer remembered, "Oh, my king, I know of a man there in the dungeon. He knows how to interpret the dream." And Pharaoh said, "Okay, call him, call him." So they called Joseph, they shaved him, they dressed him. And then Pharaoh said to him, "Are you the interpreter of dream?" But Joseph said, "No, the interpretation belongs only to God." So you see, God's plan for us is not to covet the glory which is due to him. We need to always bring back the glory to God. So what happened? Joseph interpreted the dream. "Oh my king, the dream were the same. 7 years of plenty will happen in this land, and it will be followed by 7 years of drought. So I advise you that during the times of plenty, you have to save grains so that during the time of want, all Egypt will have food." And Pharaoh, after consulting with his advisors, he said to Joseph, "Joseph, you are that man. You are that man. I will be only higher to you in the throne, but you will occupy the position as the prime minister in Egypt." You see, from being a slave to becoming prime minister in Egypt, the greatest empire in his time. "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." Don't you see? If Joseph had not gone down to Egypt, this wonderful story could be ruined. This glorious destiny will be spoiled, right? So trials are blessings, and everything has its fixed time. So before long, you will see the wonderful things that happened to Joseph. They put a robe on him, a linen cloth or something. They put a gold chain on his neck. And then they put him on the chariot. And there is a crier telling the people, "Bow the knee to someone. Bow the knee to this prime minister in all Egypt." So you see, my dear friends, the Lord had wonderful plans for us. But if you don't see God's plan in your life, because the life of Joseph portrayed a very glorious plans that God had for him. Let's say you are suffering 20 years, 30 years, you will have this hard existence in this world. But put this to mind. 30 years, 50 years, 60 years, or even 80 years of hard existence in this sinful world is nothing compared to 1,000 years in heaven. Because the ultimate plan of God is to bring us home with him. So if your life is not as grand as Joseph's life, remember that God doesn't play favorite, and he had plans for you, and that plan is to bring us all to heaven. I invite you to develop by God's grace a rock-bound faith in God, to take him as your counsel, to look at him as your friend, to believe that he has purpose in your life. Let's repeat the verse. "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." And this is my prayer in the loving name of Jesus.